Morning all.
Morning.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Good stuff. My name's Marco. For those who don't know me, I usually work on the PA team over there. And I've been coming to Trinity a long time.
Yeah, too long.
Too long to even mention. In my day job, in real life, I'm a network designer for BT. And I work on the mobile networks for EE. So it's 4G and 5G. And a quick show of hands, who's got an EE 5G phone? So a few of you. Well, let me tell you that birth of that network was absolutely fraught. Yeah, it was a difficult birth. We had to roll out the new network for 5G, and it involved a lot of new technology. And part of my job was to analyse that technology, work out how it worked, document it all for all the other teams to use in the labs, to start their testing. And that would have been difficult enough. But at the time, we had a political storm brewing between the Chinese and British governments because the Chinese government was seen as a security threat to the UK, and they were using Huawei, who were the company that built the technology for the 4G network, as a backdoor into the network for intelligence. So they thought it was spying. So the word came down from the government that not only did we have to roll out the 5G network, at the same time we had to pull out the 4G network and reinstall it with technology that wasn't Huawei without losing any customers. And it was, I can't begin to describe the chaos that was involved in that. And to say it was stressful is an understatement. It was absolute chaos from start to finish, an absolute nightmare. And I was tasked with doing all the development work in the lab. And there were big penalties, financial penalties, if we didn't get the Huawei network out in time, like millions of pounds. So it was quite a pressure job. And timescales were very tight, and it quickly became overwhelming. And I was sitting there day after day, staring into loads of data, not knowing what was going on. I remember at one point just staring into a terminal, into a screen full of data. I'm looking at thinking, God, I do not know what is going on here. How am I going to do this? I just felt like I was in a dark tunnel, yeah, with no end, pitch black. Suddenly I hear, you need a torch. I'm looking around, staring into this screen, I can hear, you need a torch. Torch. And then I hear it again, you need a torch, a flashlight. I'm thinking, God, is that you? He says, yeah, it's me. You just asked me. What am I going to do? I said, well, you need a torch. Said, okay. And I said, but I don't have one. He says, well, no problem, you can use mine. And he gave me this, right? The Bible. Good book. I said, so I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, Lord, this is a book. He said to me, oh yeah, everybody thinks it's a book, but actually, it's a torch. So I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, how do I switch it on? So well, you've got to read it. So I go, read it, okay, what should I read? He says, well, a good mate of mine, Solomon, he wrote a book. In this book, that you need to read. I said, okay, which book is it? He says, it's Ecclesiastes. I said, okay, he says, so I said to him, well, where should I start reading it? He says, well, start at the start of it. And he suggested some verses to me. Chapter 1, verse 2 to 11. I don't know if it's up there. Yeah, it is. Everything is meaningless. I thought, okay. Chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. The futility of work. Does that ring a bell with anybody? And he said, chapter 3, verse 9 to 13, there's a time for everything. And I'm reading these passages, and I'm thinking, and as I'm reading them, I'm thinking, there's a lot in this. This is actually quite profound. And as I'm reading it, I'm sort of thinking about it, and so things are starting to clear in my mind a little bit. And then I hear the voice again. What can you see? I said, well, I can see some light, having read all this. And I can see somebody standing over in the distance. He said, oh, I said, a torch is working then. I said, yeah. I said, who is that? God says, oh, that's another friend of mine. So actually, he's a friend of my son's, but he's a friend of mine too. He's written a book you should read as well. So he said, come with me, I'll introduce you to him. So I went over. And he says, Paul, Marco Paul. I went, Paul? He says, yeah, Paul. On the road to Damascus, you know, the one blinding the light, killed Christians, then had a revelation, now he's not killing them anymore. Him. Okay. So I went to say hello to him. Oh, Paul stops me. He goes, hang about, let me guess. He says, you're struggling at work, you're overwhelmed, and you can't see a way forward. I went, yeah, how did you know that? Paul says, oh, we've had a few of them this week. So he says, well, I've written a book you need to read. I said, oh yeah, what book's that? He said, well, it's called Colossians. Don't have to read it all now, he says, but there's one passage you absolutely have to read. You read the rest later, but you've got to read this one. So I said, which one's that then? So he says, it's chapter 3, verse 23-24, which I think is up there. It is. Which says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for the people. Yeah. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about Ecclesiastes. And I'm sort of thinking, yes, no, you're right. This, oh, what am I doing? I'm approaching this from completely the wrong direction. And as I'm reading this, my mind is starting to clear. Things are starting to make a little bit more sense. And I hear God say to me, you are exactly where I want you to be. Yeah. Doing exactly what I want you to do when I want you to do it. That's good. So I say, that's great. But what about all the people that are around me, half of whom aren't believers at all? He said, well, they don't know it yet, but they are also doing exactly what I want them to do in the place I want them to do it. I said, okay, so there's no need to feel worried, to feel stressed. You have it all in hand. He says, yeah, I've got it all in hand. Indeed, I do. He says, you just need a bit of faith and a flashlight. So I said, thanks very much. He said, it's a pleasure. Anytime. Glad we could help. So anyway, in the end, the 5G network launched successfully, and I found the experience that I'd gained doing it and the experience that I'd learnt through these words really helped me when colleagues were coming to me asking me questions and they were finding themselves in the same position that I was in. And I really had something I felt I could give them. And what I could give them was what God gave me, basically. And that was the light. Yeah. So anytime you find yourself at work, you're overwhelmed, you're undervalued, and you're lost in the darkness, don't forget your torch. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Oyen. It's really a pleasure to be here. Thanks to Becca, Duncan and Jill. Honoured to be here. And I have come to worship with you guys a few times before, so I'm not like a foreigner, just kind of a foreigner. I worship at Jesus' house, which is just up the road. Okay, so I'm going to try to do this in 11 minutes. Give you a time, yeah. All right, so a few Tuesdays ago, I was just feeling like how most adults feel Tuesday evening after the gym, had a long day at work. I got my redundant in like August. I got a new job. There's lots of things going on in my life. And I went home and I was like, what is the point of life? And I genuinely do know the point of life. It's to serve Jesus Christ. But I was just asking all these questions and I just felt to go back to Genesis 1, to go back to the creation story. And I was just reading it kind of as a comfort. I didn't think that there was anything else to know in there because I read it and I know the story, but I don't. And in reading that, God revealed to me something which now makes sense to share with you guys this morning. So I really do pray that this can encourage and bless you. I didn't send Becca any slides or anything because I worked on this last night. So just follow me. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And as we know, God is creating, he's laying down the foundations of the earth. He's created the vault, the sky, the sun, the sea, all these great things. And then we get to verse 26. And then God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all wild animals. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, tell them what they can eat, tell them all the things that they can do. And then he looks at what he's created and said, this is good. But what spun me was that he actually hadn't created mankind. This was actually an idea. It was a vision that he had thought about. And it's the first time that we're privy to God thinking about the thing he's going to create before he then creates it. And then in chapter 2, he then, I don't know why God does many things. He's like, oh, there's no water on the ground. He brings the water from the ground. And then he creates Adam. But in verse 1, it is an idea. It is a vision. And he's telling us about it. He's like, they're going to be in our likeness. They're going to be like us, male and female. We're going to create them. They're going to rule. He looks at this idea. He's like, this is such a good idea. And then in verse 2, he then creates the frame in which he puts this idea into, which is you and I. And then I was thinking, like, that's insane. That's like the coolest thing ever. Like, he has his vision and then he puts it in us and then he creates mankind. And then it made me think that we are like God. And we have many names for God. We call him Adonai, El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, Yahweh. We call him Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. We call him these great magnificent names. Elroy, the God who sees me. We're like, God, you do all things, all great things. And then we wake up and we say, my purpose is in my 9 to 5. It is in. You're waking up at 4 a.m. I personally don't wake up at 4 a.m. I ain't got no kids. I don't know if you wake up at 4 a.m., but God bless you guys that do that. But we wake up at 4 a.m., we go to work, and we're like, great, this is my identity, this is my purpose. And that doesn't sit right with me. It never has. And reading the Word of God, it has confirmed to me that it just can't. That God, this complex, yet simple and layered being, created us in his image and his likeness, but somehow corporate America has lied to us and told us that, yes, data analyst, you are fulfilling your purpose in this life. If you're a data analyst, no shade. I think that and accountants are like the most boring jobs in the world. Personal opinion, it's okay. I work in the youth industry, and I have for my entire career, and I work with really vulnerable young people. I've worked with young girls who've been abused and groomed. I've worked with boys, and I've seen them literally go to jail for life and murder. I've worked with families that have been in the deepest level of poverty that I genuinely, like, can't even imagine in the UK. And many would be like, you are living a purpose, like you're doing a really purpose-filled job. And I am, but obviously when a kid is insulting you at 8 a.m. in the morning and you've just said good morning and then insulted your entire lineage, it doesn't always feel like you're doing your purpose. But then I've also had jobs within the youth industry where I haven't enjoyed what I've been doing at all, actually. And it made me realise, like, my purpose isn't actually this 9 to 5. But if you can kind of follow me and I will kind of get there, like, your purpose is who God has called you to be, wherever you are and whatever you are doing. Because God had this great idea, this vision, this plan. He spoke about it, said it's so good, and then created it and put it in you and I. And then so wherever we actually are, that is genuinely where our purpose is, right? Yeah. And I remember being in another job, and it was still in youth work, but I was now working with young people who couldn't get into employment because of, like, previous convictions and things like that. And I was working, I don't like to say it out loud, but she was kind of bullying me. I don't know why she's bullying me, but I literally am an adult, I've got friends. But she just didn't want to be my friend at work. Fine. And she was just, she'd air my emails. Do you know what it means to write an email and then someone airs it? And then in the meeting, doesn't even address the email that you emailed them. Cool. And I remember I had a meeting with a manager and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Don't send me into no meeting with her. I'm not chatting to her and I'm not talking to her. The manager was like, all right. And that's how I spoke to him. He was like, okay. And I remember I go home, open up the Old Testament, trying to find a smite her, destroy her family lineage. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit tells me, like, just Let's go into the New Testament. And I read, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Not even the tax collectors are doing that. And I was like, so, I don't want to do that. She's rude to me. She's mean. And what I realised, like, in that moment, in that, I hated that job anyway. I don't hate her anymore, but I did. I hated her. And I hated everything else I was doing. And God is telling me to love this person who is literally, like, very loudly rude to me. And I remember being like, okay, like, this is also part of my purpose. This is also God's great design and identity for me. That in this workplace that does not feel fulfilling, that I don't enjoy, that someone is bullying me, I realised that actually I still had a calling and a purpose to be there, and that was to be love. Yeah. Despite being in an environment that was not fulfilling for me at all. Yeah. So, back to scripture. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I think what God is showing us that he has already set his purpose in us. Your purpose is the likeness of God within you. Your purpose is to be blessed and to be fruitful. And Duncan prayed the word. He kept on saying fruitful. And I was like, yes, it is to be fruitful. And that is not on the spectrum of the career that you're so good at, that you love, that's making loads of money, nor is on the other end of the spectrum where you're in a job that you hate and people are bullying you. Have to do this because, you know. It's not on either any of those things. It's wherever you are to be blessed and you are to be fruitful. And the either end of the spectrum doesn't deter that. Because our purpose was set when God laid the foundations of the earth, right? Good. So it's not about where we are right now. Well, it is, but not really. So, as I wrap up, your job is not your sole purpose. And if you hear what I'm trying to say, is that your purpose is your identity in Christ, and God has given you that identity.
Yeah.
And so wherever you are fulfilling your purpose if you are totally aware that there is a God in heaven who had a vision and an idea for you, and then put you into this frame and looked at you and said, this is good. Amen. And so I don't know what everyone else is doing, unless you're a data analyst or accountant. But I do know that these are things that define our purpose wherever we are. To pray without ceasing, that's what we've been called to do. To give thanksgiving regardless, that's what we've been called to do. To admonish and serve others. To give to the poor and to the needy. To love those, to advocate for those. And most importantly, above all, to pursue holiness and righteousness. And that isn't dependent on your job or your 9-to-5, whether a young person is insulting you or whether an Excel spreadsheet isn't working. Those things are applied for all of us here in this room. And so I just want to pray for you guys from the writer of Ecclesiastes. And it says, what do workers gain from their toil? Also, I love Ecclesiastes. It's definitely my vibe. Like, just bare confused, but also pointing to God. What do workers gain from their toil? That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. And my prayer to everyone here, and my prayer to myself as I transition into a new career in a new place. I've been crying about every day like a little baby. My dad told me that I need to leave the house, and I will soon. Is that I actually find satisfaction in my toil. That you, I pray, find satisfaction in your toil. Amen. And your satisfaction will be your purpose and your identity that God has put in you, not the job that you are doing. Yeah. And that is the gift from God. And so I truly do pray that you guys receive that gift. Amen. You receive that satisfaction in your toil because you have been set purpose while God is laying the foundations of the earth. And I think that is the most precious and beautiful gift to leave here with. So, yeah, thank you, everyone. Thank you.